The Senate will please come to order. Clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson? Atkinson? Bates? Bates? Bonamici? Bonamici? Boquist? Burdick? Burdick? Carter? Carter? Devlin? Devlin? Dingfelder? Dingfelder? Farioli? George? Gerard? Hass? Hass? Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator George will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Invocation is by Reverend Aaron Auer of the Rohr Ministries in Newburgh.
Thank you. It's good to be with you. God bless you. Being the sesquicentennial, it seemed good to point out the famous dedication of the Circuit Rider statue just here off the east steps, 100 paces of the Capitol. I have a ceremony copy of the proceedings and unveiling at the dedication on April 19, 1924. Just seemed good to read just a couple things from that. Here from the Oregon Legislature, 31st Session, 1921, whereas it is the sense of the Oregon Legislature that the Circuit Riders, as the friends, counselors, and evangels to the pioneers on our frontiers, largely directed the thought of our citizenry and shaped the course of our civilization and were largely instrumental in determining the boundaries of the Oregon country. Therefore, be it resolved. We have a remark from Charles Carey, the leading historian of Oregon. He presided there. He said, "The pioneer preachers, with rare self-sacrifice and devotion to a belief, typifying a degree the spiritual influences that have permeated and characterized our civilization and our social and political structure." And then from the governor there, Walter Pierce, his acceptance. He says, words cannot recite. Monuments fail to fully commemorate the work of the men who in the pioneer days followed the circuit, teaching and preaching the doctrine of the Savior. The circuit rider's influence would be felt as long as time. The spirit of the circuit rider is a part and parcel of our humanity. It's been woven into our very nature. It has given the people of the Pacific Coast a peculiar sense of public duty, distinctly American and distinctly Oregonian. And then in closing, the invocation, the prayer that was offered here, let us pray. Thou God of our fathers, we thank Thee for this great monument, which brings to our memory the heroic days of the pioneers, the men and women who laid in faith and sacrificed the religious and educational and governmental foundations of our commonwealth. Especially do we thank Thee today for the old-time preachers who carried Thy gospel to unchurched communities and lonely frontiers. We thank Thee not only for the sections which they evangelized and the churches which they organized, but also for the schools and colleges they helped to found. We thank Thee for their influence in establishing law and order. They being dead yet speak through this statue today. Make us in some measure worthy of the heritage which they have bequeathed to us. As we recall this glorious band, the chosen few on whom the Spirit fell, O God, to us may grace be given to follow in their train. Do Thou bathe all of our souls in the passion of Calvary, that like we to Him, we with persuasive tongues may tell how Christ died to save men and still lives to bless and help them. Keep us true to Thy word and to Thy will and to Thy work, to all our cherished institutions, our American traditions, our Christian ideals, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be with us yet, lest we forget. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you. Thank you. And we do have on your desk a picture of that dedication and the letter of the governor on the back. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Auer, for your invocation. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you, and also thank you, Senator George, for leading us in the pledge. Honorary pages on the floor today, guest of Senator Brian Boquist, Casey Dumbrow, Alicia Holland, Veronica Anderson, guest of Senator Joanne Verger, Abigail Wynn. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to all the honorary pages. Thank you for coming here today to help us through our session. We're now under courtesies of the Senate. Recognize Senator Richard Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Mr. President, if you would please extend courtesies to Will Nevius. He is a senior student at Willamette University in politics. He has experience in health policy. He recently worked at a rural health clinic in South Africa. He has also worked on policy and government outreach in Washington, D.C., and currently helps coordinate a nationwide network of college campuses advocating for responsible global health policy. If you would please extend courtesies to Will, a new intern for the Senate Majority Office, I'd appreciate it, Mr. President.
Thank you, Will. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Thanks for being an intern in the office, Richard Devlin, and thanks for bringing your knowledge here. Hope you have a good stay. Thank you. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to welcome the Oregon Foster Youth Connection. They're up in the gallery wearing teal T-shirts. I thought they were going to be here, but they're around the Capitol today. It's Advocacy Day for Oregon Foster Youth, and I'd like to welcome them to the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to the Oregon Foster Youth Day. Hope you're having a good time in the Capitol today. Thank you for visiting your state capitol. Recognize Senator Jeff Cruz, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the back gallery, we have 39 11th graders from Umpqua Valley Christian School. Their leader is Keith Coble, and I would like to welcome them to the Capitol.
Thank you. To the students of Umpqua Valley Christian, we're very pleased you could be here along with your teacher, Kim. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to each and every one of you. Hope you have a good day in your state capitol. Thank you. Are there further courtesies for the Senate? We're now on our remonstrances. Message from the governor, please.
Mr. President, my direction to the governor to inform you he has approved and signed the following bills. Senate bills 338, 54, 5543, 5562.
Messages from the House, please.
Mr. President, my direction to the speaker to inform you the House has passed House Bill 2357, Senate bills 5562, 5543, and 338. Mr. President, I urge the Speaker to inform you he has signed Senate Bill 5543, 5562, and 338.
Reports from the conference committees, reports from standing committees, in accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 8 was distributed to members on February 5th, and number 10 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report, and is so ordered. Reports from special committees, propositions and motions, actions on executive appointments that require Senate confirmation, the first introduction and the first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 5, in memoriam Gene Landsman. Senate Joint Resolution 19, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related to public school funding. Senate Joint Resolution 20, proposed amendment to Oregon Constitution related to redistricting. Senate Bill 393 relating to financial solvency for residential care facilities, appropriate money. Senate Bill 446 relating to energy technology and public buildings. Senate Bill 447 relating to public display of Oregon Constitution, appropriate money and current emergency. Senate Bill 448 relating to high performance building standards, current emergency. Senate Bill 449 relating to historic highways. Senate Bill 450 relating to appointment of counsel in dependency cases, appropriate money and current emergency. Senate Bill 451 relating to registry for physician orders of life-sustaining treatment, appropriate money and current emergency. Senate Bill 452 relating to health information technology. Senate Bill 453 relating to health planning and current emergency. Senate Bill 454 relating to health care cost information. Senate Bill 455 relating to health services, appropriate money and current emergency. Senate Bill 456 relating to health care, appropriate money and current emergency. Senate Bill 447 relating to health care workforce data collection, current emergency. Senate Bill 448 relating to secondary lands, current emergency. Senate Bill 449 relating to transportation utility boards. Senate Bill 460 relating to birth anomalies. Senate Bill 461 relating to unemployment insurance. Senate Bill 462 relating to eligibility for unemployment insurance benefits. Senate Bill 463 relating to eligibility for employment or insurance benefits. Senate Bill 464 relating to accordion groups. Senate Bill 465 relating to permits for state capital, appropriate money, current emergency. Senate Bill 466 relating to Oregon State Police. Senate Bill 467 relating to single-family dwellings. Senate Bill 468 relating to telemedicine. Senate Bill 469 relating to business activities conducted by minors. Senate Bill 470 relating to investments in public funds and current emergency. Senate Bill 471 relating to discriminatory practices. Senate Bill 472 relating to remote hatchbox program. Senate Bill 473 relating to inheritance tax filing threshold and prescribing effective dates. Senate Bill 474 relating to elimination of taxes on capital gains. Senate Bill 475 relating to voting. Senate Bill 476 relating to electric company public purpose charges and appropriate money. Senate Bill 477 relating to Oregon 529 College Savings Network, appropriate money and current emergency. Senate Bill 478 relating to cause of higher education and current emergency. Senate Bill 479 relating to opportunities for disabled veterans and public contracting. Senate Bill 480 relating to recyclable materials. Senate Bill 481 relating to invasion of personal privacy. Senate Bill 482 relating to establishment of safe drinking water overlay zones. Senate Bill 483 relating to summer instruction and current emergency. Senate Bill 484 relating to supplemental instruction and current emergency.
This is transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of the Senate measures.
Senate Bill 46 relating to background checks for schools and current emergency. Senate Bill 47 relating to license power of teacher standards and practices commission and current emergency. Senate Bill 63 relating to child development specialist program and current emergency. Senate Bill 65 relating to school finance and current emergency. Senate Bill 81 relating to performance security of lottery contractors. Senate Bill 83 relating to devices for playing state lottery games. Senate Bill 96 relating to terminology describing veterans. Senate Bill 125 relating to student traffic safety education courses and current emergency. Senate Bill 142 relating to professions regulated by the State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. Senate Bill 143 relating to practice of engineering exemptions. Senate Bill 144 relating to State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying. Senate Bill 151 relating to administration of estates. Senate Bill 162 relating to disclosure of information about residents of adult foster homes. Senate Bill 212 relating to administration of criminal fine and assessment account funding for victims assistance programs and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 286 relating to foreign country judgments.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading on the Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 56 relating to complaint of discriminatory practice.
And I recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski, who will carry this bill.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 56 comes out of your Judiciary Committee. It came out on a 5-0 vote. This is a bill that actually is going to basically take current law that allows for a complainant and his attorney, or actually requires them to sign the complaint, to actually now require that the individual who is going forward on the unlawful discrimination, the complainant, have to sign. And the reason we want to make certain that occurs is that will, in fact, give some verification. And if for some reason someone wants to, let's say, try to game the system, that they can be held accountable. So it's a straightforward requiring a signature of the complainant, not allowing for the attorney to sign in their on their behalf. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Do you wish to close?
No.
Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 56. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will say aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morissette.
Senator Morissette.
Morissette? Morse. Morse. Morse? Nelson? Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Devlin. Senator Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Mons Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Winters. Absent. Atkinson. Voting no. Nelson. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 56, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 60, relating to fees incurred by Bureau of Labor and Industries for collection of judgment.
Good night. Senator Rosenbaum, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 60 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs and makes a simple and straightforward change. The Bureau of Labor and Industries has, as you know, jurisdiction over wage and civil rights violations, and both of these can result in judgments for wages or penalties owed to complainants, generally an employee. These judgments are obtained against respondents, generally an employer, as the result of the issuance of a court order or final order issued by the Bureau of Labor and Industries. So Senate Bill 60 makes one simple change that will allow the money owed through these final orders in wage and civil rights claims to be paid to the prevailing party without deduction for the cost of collecting the amounts owed when the collection agent is the Department of Revenue. Current law gives the authority to the Bureau of Labor to pass along the cost of collection to the respondent when a private collection agency is used, but this bill simply gives the same authority when the collection agent is the Department of Revenue. The bill passed unanimously from our Consumer Protection Committee. It has no fiscal or revenue impact, and I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 60. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion on the measure, please. Do you wish to close? Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 60. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass, say aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson.
No.
Nelson. Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters. Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Dingfelder.
Aye.
Farioli.
No.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
No.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Winters. Voting no. Boquist. Farioli. Gerard. Cruz. Nelson. 23 ayes.
Senate Bill 60 have received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill, please.
Senate Bill 164 relating to reporting for assets and public assistance programs.
Recognize Senator Telfer, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 164 comes out of the Senate Committee on Human Services and Rural Health Policy with a unanimous do pass recommendation. Currently, the state of Oregon has a 3-year look-back period for individuals applying for Medicaid long-term care services. The look-back period refers to a minimum period of time during which the Department of Human Services must consider whether a person made a disqualifying transfer of assets before applying for Medicaid services. The Deficit Reduction Act of 2005 changed the federal law regarding the look-back period to 5 years for seniors, individuals with physical disabilities, or individuals with developmental disabilities. Senate Bill 164 aligns state statute with federal law regarding the period that the department must look back to determine whether an individual has made a disqualifying transfer of assets, causing the individual to be ineligible for Medicaid long-term care services. Senate Bill 164 removes the 3-year look-back period for statute, but does not replace it with language specifying a 5-year look-back period. By avoiding explicit reference to a number of years, state statute can flexibly adjust to any subsequent changes of federal law on the look-back period and it not impute a specific look-back period on programs to which it does not apply.
Thank you, Senator Telfer.
For the discussion, recognize Senator Bates, please.
To the bill?
To the bill, please.
No, I'm sorry, to the carrier.
To the carrier, you're going to ask a question?
What is your definition
Excuse me,
of...
Are you answering a question?
I'm sorry.
Are you going to ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Carrier, would you yield to a question? Senator, will
yes.
you... Yeah, yes, please. Please proceed.
What is your definition of assets?
Those things at the top of the balance sheet.
I'll follow up.
Would you yield to another question? Would you yield to another question,
yes.
Senator? She will.
And how do you make a transfer then?
You move them to the bottom of the balance sheet, or you put them over onto a profit and loss statement, which eventually will find its way back to reducing the net worth of the balance sheet.
Another question, Carrier?
Please, would you yield?
Yes.
Senator, will you?
Have you had an opportunity to research how an individual worker in our DHS system would have to spend time talking to a client to figure these transfers and what assets are and how that would slow the process of them having an opportunity to actually take part in a Medicaid program?
Well, actually, I believe that we have a large number of spotted owls still left in the state. In fact, they're growing every day. And we're going to use their ability to turn their heads and... utilizing the look-back function.
One last question.
Would you yield, please?
Yes.
She will.
Are you familiar with the hazing contract you signed in entering this building?
Oh, yes. I signed it in blood.
No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Do you wish to close, Senator?
No.
Question now arises upon the third reading the final passage of Senate Bill 164. Those who defend the bill shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Nelson. Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morset. Morse. Morse. Not answering. Nelson.
Didn't call me. Yes.
President Courtney. Not answering. Nelson. Excused. Carter. Winters. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 164, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 173, relating membership of the State Board of Psychologic Examiners.
Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I've never been one for growing government, but in some cases it makes sense. This bill would expand the number of members of the Board of Psychologist Examiners from 7 to 9. That still fits in my parameters of a functional board, but the reasons for it are several. One is the fact that they sometimes have trouble getting quorums. This would help with that. They also have trouble sometimes with the members of the board who are psychologists having conflicts of interest, and because it is a rather small universe, and this would allow them to deal with that if somebody has to redact themselves from the process. And this also increases the number of public members by one, and additionally allows a board member to be somebody with a master's degree. That part of the discipline currently is not represented on the board. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, do you wish to close? Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 173. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Telfer.
Yes.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Winters. Voting no. Boquist. Gerard. Whitsett. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 173, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 174, relating to the State Board of Psychologist Examiners.
Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Senate Bill 174 increases from 1,000 to 10,000 the maximum civil penalty the State Board of Psychologist Examiners may impose for disciplinary violations. Colleagues, if you remember back to last session, we increased the civil penalty limit for most of the other health boards sanctioned in the state. This was one that we didn't catch. And quite honestly, for a lot of these folks, a $1,000 penalty really isn't much of a hit. This allows the board to actually have some teeth behind them when they sanction. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 174. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Telfer. Telfer.
Yes.
Berger. 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 Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Nelson. Whitsett. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 174, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 234, relating to procedure for judicial review of land use decisions.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 234 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee and the Oregon State Bar Association. This bill addresses a discrepancy in the statutes that govern appeals from the decisions of the Land Use Board of Appeals versus decisions from the circuit courts. Currently, when a party appeals a circuit court decision to the Court of Appeals, they can serve a copy of the appeal on the other parties by registered mail, certified mail, or first-class mail. But an appeal from the Land Use Board of Appeals can be served on the other parties only by registered mail or certified mail, not by first-class mail. I want to point out that the appeal itself still needs to be filed by certified or registered mail. Senate Bill 234 amends the LUBA statute, ORS 197-850, to allow a person to serve an appeal from LUBA on the other parties by first-class mail. This standardizes the appeal procedures from those of the lower courts to the Court of Appeals and reduces the potential for inadvertent error that can result in an otherwise valid appeal being dismissed. This bill is from the Executive Committee of the Real Estate and Land Use Section of the Oregon State Bar and comes to you from the Judiciary Committee. Thank you, and I urge your support.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
To the bill, Mr. President. I just want to clarify, I voted no in committee on this bill, and I voted no specifically because I believe notice should have been sent either certified or registered mail to ensure that recipients actually knew they got it. Unfortunately, in my district, the post office ain't what it used to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 234. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those who are opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader. Starr.
No.
Telfer.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juanes Anderson. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Nelson. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 19 ayes.
Senate Bill 234, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 240, relating personal information about debtors in court and emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, 240 comes to your judiciary with a unanimous vote. There is no revenue impact and a minimum fiscal. 240 is another step in our continuing efforts to protect Oregonians from identity theft. Under current law, requires the inclusion of full Social Security numbers, driver's license numbers, and dates of birth in money judgment documents and writs of garnishment must include this full information. These requirements are in conflict with our efforts to combat identity theft. 240 addresses these issues by requiring that only truncated Social Security numbers and driver's license numbers and only the year of birth be included in the judgment document filed by the court. This bill is tailored to balance the interest of debtors, creditors, financial institution, and employers. Urge a yes vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Boqvist, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 240. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr.
Yes.
Telfer.
Yes.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boqvist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Nelson. Krasinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Nelson, Winters. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 240, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 86, relating to extradition.
Chair recognizes Senator Boqvist.
Thank you, Mr. President. SB 86 comes from the judiciary. There is no revenue and no fiscal impact. The measure requires the governor to determine the security requirements necessary to safely carry out the extradition of a person from one state to the other. What it really does is it simply drops the state police out of the process, and so you know it changes absolutely nothing. It's exactly what we're doing right now. This is just implementing what we've been doing for the last 20-some years. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not, Senator Boqvist, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 86. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boqvist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Nelson, Winters. Voting no, Cruz. Voting no, Atkinson, Cruz. 25 ayes.
Senate Bill 86, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 183, relating to taxation of demolished property, inscribing effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you. Senate Bill 183 comes out of the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee with a unanimous vote in favor and a due pass recommendation. Currently, when a building is demolished or removed from property, the maximum assessed value of the property may be reduced to reflect the demolishment or removal of the building. However, it fails to spell out the ordering of adjustments when more than one adjustment to the MAV is needed. Court law suggests two different venues for appeal, the local Board of Property Tax Appeals and Tax Court. This creates confusion. Also, the bill specifies timeline for filing application for reduction of the maximum assessed value of demolished or removed property. It specifies the order of adjustment when more than one adjustment to the MAV of demolished or removed property is needed.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Telford, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 183. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. 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 Telfer. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Nelson, Winters. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 183, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 197, relating to student law clerks for Public Utility Commission, declaring an emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 197 would authorize the Public Utility Commission to use temporary appointments for student law clerks for periods of up to 24 months. Under current law, use of law clerks by the PUC is limited to 6 months. This bill would give the PUC similar authority to that currently in law for the use of law clerks by the Department of Justice and the Office of Administrative Hearings. Generally, student law clerks will work for PUC for 1 to 2 years. Despite the transitory nature of the work, current law requires PUC to use a permanent position for their law clerks so they can keep them on for 2 years. They would prefer to fill the position with a temporary appointment, but under current law, are only allowed to do so for a 6-month period. The use of temporary staff has two advantages. One, temporary positions cost less, they don't get benefits and leave, and two, there are fewer hiring requirements than with a permanent employee. This makes it easier to recruit and gives PUC more flexibility when hiring. The Department of Justice and the Office of Administrative Hearings have successfully used this process for many years. In doing so, they have saved money and gained flexibility in hiring, both to the benefit of the agency and the law students. There is no known opposition. Mr. President, I recommend adoption.
Thank you. It's discussion on the measure. Senator Morris, you wish to close? Question now arises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 197. Those opinion the bill shall pass, say aye. Names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader.
Ask her how she votes.
What?
Ask her how she votes.
Senator Schrader? Let's sorry.
Okay, she's the
judge. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Nelson, Winters. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 197, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 323, relating to electronic submission reports to the Legislative Assembly in court emergency.
Recognize Senator Hass.
Senate Bill 323 gives agencies who are required to submit reports, Mr. President, to the presiding officers of the legislature the option to submit these reports electronically. Additionally, the bill requires the agency provide information about where to access the electronic copies of the report. Mr. President, permission to hold a visual aid?
Permission granted.
As you can see, these are the reports we're talking about. This is one that came out last month. It is the report on internal control over financial reporting on compliance and other matters based on an audit of financial statements for SAFE. This is the report that's required. This is the executive summary. We have had some questions on this bill about these executive summaries and the notifications when reports are released. Agencies will still be required to supply hard copies of these notifications and the summaries to each legislator and to the presiding officers. Senate Bill 323 makes good fiscal sense. It will save money, trees, and time. The measure passed unanimously. No known opposition. Thank you.
Discussion of the measure. Senator Hatch, you wish to close? Question now arises upon third reading the final passage of Senate Bill 323. Those opinion bills shall pass. Say ayes. Names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Quinsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Carter. Nelson. Winters. Voting no. George. 26 ayes.
Senate Bill 323, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of the House measures.
House Bill 2357, relating disclaimers.
Transferred to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate. According to the SR, Senator Jason Atkinson, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, request permission to vote on Senate Bill 56. This will not change the outcome.
Is there any objection? How do you vote, please?
I vote aye.
He votes aye on Senate Bill 56, was it?
Yes.
Please note the fact that Senator Jason Atkinson voted aye on Senate Bill 56. Third reading of House measures. We are on our other business of the Senate. According to SR 8.403, committee referral list number 28 and 29 were distributed to the members February 4th. And number 30 and number 31 were distributed to members February 5th. The referrals were recorded in the Journal of State's report and is so ordered. Announcements. Three announcements. We may have a meeting. We may come on the floor on Thursday. We'll see how that works out. Maybe Thursday session. Wednesday session, we're going to come on the floor at 11 a.m. And finally, we will have a commemorative session on Saturday. That is the birthday of Oregon. I guess you have been given notice of that. We're not going to do official business. We will do some business, but of a commemorative nature. I believe that session begins at 10 o'clock in the morning. Is that correct? So at 10 o'clock on Saturday, we will have a commemorative session here on the Senate floor to celebrate Oregon's 150th birthday. So to the extent that those of you can make it, I believe the different caucuses are going around to survey the members and to see how many of you will be here for that Saturday commemorative session. Recognize Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats, get your lunch. Caucus will start promptly at 12:20.
Okay, the Senator Farioli, is there any? He has no further. All right. If there are no further announcements, without objection, the Senate is adjourned until Wednesday, February 11th at 11 a.m., please.